Hello and welcome to Connectivity 237. I'm your host, Nicholas Bray, and today I'm joined once again by Zachary Miller. Curtis Bonds.
Yaha!
And a special guest joining us this week, Dr. Jonathan Metz.
I don't I can't compete with these guys.
That's my best card impression. and, you know...
Let me just peek out your meter there.
So, yeah, it's pretty obvious that we're obviously going to be talking about Mario Odyssey on this episode. So we'll just get straight into it, and I'll start with Johnny. What's your sort of general impressions of the game?
I like it. It's a good game. It's long. It has a lot of moons. And colors and costumes, and it's very cute.
All right, great podcast, everybody. See you later.
In what context? Give me a little more than that.
Okay.
What are you looking for?
I
talked a lot about this game on Radio Free Nintendo, and I'm going to try hard not to repeat myself.
Yeah. Okay, maybe we could talk a bit about what are our thoughts on the. Sort of the way they've approached this game in terms of, like, how it compares to the progression of Mario 64. I mean, a lot of the levels in this game actually aren't that much bigger than levels from Mario 64 or Sunshine. They're just very, very densely packed, which, my comparison early on was to the Cascade Kingdom. That level is very similar to Bob on Battlefield in terms of, like, the layout and the size and everything, but... You just, when I first started playing, you just started to uncover more and more moons, and you're like, how is there more on this level? I mean, like, I don't know. I still don't know exactly what to think of the game. Like, I really, like it and stuff, but, I still don't know where I sit on it. I mean, it feels, I don't know. I can't really explain what it is, that's sort of at the back of my mind going, I'm not sure.
You just made me think of something with the 64 comparison, which is unavoidable here, and it's somewhat, you know, the game has a lot of built-in references to Mario 64. But on Bob-omb Battlefield, that first level from 64, do you remember the star that you get from pounding down the post on the Chain Chomp?
Yeah.
And it activates it and it blasts through the gate, and then you can get the star that's hidden away in there. I feel like that's about 75% of Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
It's like finding these little unique, strange, tucked away things in these levels and just trying them, you know? And sometimes I'll pass by the same thing three or four times before I realize what I could do there that I haven't done, whether that's using one of Mario's moves or using a capture, you know, or just kind of approaching from a totally different angle. And a lot of these moons, I keep saying stars, but these moons are really just kind of either hidden away in plain sight or they sit there and they tease you and they make you wonder, how am I supposed to get up there? You know, it doesn't seem like there's a way to do it. But there's always some kind of clue. And if you look around, you'll find something that will lead you to it. And so much of the game is just digging into these spaces and figuring out how they work and how they're put together and what you're able to influence and how you can navigate it differently by capturing different creatures and different enemies. So I think it's very similar to the structure in 64. Like you said, the levels are, and for the most part, they're pretty much on the same scale. And I think we always thought that if Nintendo ever made a true successor to Mario 64, they would kind of do it in a similar way, but just make the levels much larger. And instead, what they did was keep them about the same size and just pack them much more densely with stuff to do and stuff to find. Do you guys like that approach?
I love it. I think that Chain Chomp example is a great example because that's the first star I got in Mario 64, and it's on the way to the real goal, which is get to the top of the mountain. And Mario's Odyssey gives you a goal. It says, you know, go over here, but then on the way you get about 20 moons. Mm-hmm. So I really like that.
Yeah, I like it a lot too, and it really helps too that you are not like given any other ability in the game. Like, once you start the game and you get Cappy, you are pretty much set for finding every single moon.
Like Zelda.
And, yeah, pretty much. Like, once you get all those powers, it's like you have everything you need. I mean, you're going to get stuff that will help you along the way. But, I mean, in this game, it's just you don't really... The only things that really help you are, like, you know, little bonuses you can buy from the store, like extra health or whatever. But I kind of like this approach because you can... Anything you can see or anything you can, like, get... any you can get pretty much anywhere in the level, like, right from the get-go, like, right when you get there. But
there's some exceptions,
almost.
Though.
There's some exceptions. Yeah.
There's
like,
some things you need certain costumes to... To let right. people,
yeah, I mean that's to, the only be, thing is just like yeah, you need certain costumes to get into certain
well,
areas,
and you need but to beat I'm, the game. There's actually quite a few moons on every level that you can't get until you beat the game. Which
oh yeah,
I mean in terms of just like what you see, you can access straight away with the powers that you have. Like once you beat the game, there's a bunch of challenges that open up, but it's like you don't really see them during the main course of the game.
Oh, I mean,
like,
there's definitely islands and towers and things off in the distance that you won't get to until you can't access until much later in the game.
That's what I was gonna say.
The only exceptions I was going to mention were like you know those painting shortcuts that were like you know warp you to a certain point in a level that you wouldn't be able to access. But for everything. All like 99% of a level you can just access straight away with what you have.
I was going to mention like when I was playing the Cascade Kingdom first off, I wasted a lot of time trying to work out like a way to get up to that floating island above the stage because I thought there must be like a warp pipe or something I can find to get me up there. I wasted probably like a good 20 minutes half an hour trying to figure it out, and then I was like
those are the only things that are kind of weird.
I don't know. I kind of wish that, like, because I think even some of the moons, in like when you first go to a level or whatever, you can't like. There's the post game stuff you can do after, but then there's moons that you just need to come back later for the level to sort of change, like a bit later on. Like I don't think it's possible to get all of the moons on like your first or second visit to a place.
No.
I don't know if I like. I don't know if I'd prefer it if it was possible to like 100% a level before moving on, or if it was, you know, because it's a little vague the way it presents itself at the moment too.
I think it's good that you can't, because then you don't get burned out on a level.
Yeah. Well, you can still burn yourself out on a level.
You can.
Oh, you can. Yeah, I have. But
yeah.
I was probably getting about half the moons before moving on, roughly, I think. I was sort of, like, just finding all the stuff I could do that was kind of obvious and stuff, and then moved on to the next one.
Yeah, I like the approach of diminishing returns. You know, like, I take the ones that are obvious and easy or that look fun to get, and if there's some that I can't quite figure out or they look like they're too much trouble or they involve me running and changing costumes and coming back, I'm like, maybe I'll come back to that later. But now I got better things to do. There's parts of this game that I enjoy more than that. So I'm just going to go. And there's so much here that you can. And I mean, I do think the game is good about letting you really take things on and it's not in whatever order you want. Cause we've said there is some gating, but for the most part, you know, even when the game suggests that you go do this moon next, that's totally optional. You know, you could delay doing those story missions almost indefinite. I mean, you know, you could do tons of other stuff before you ever get around to doing those. I think James Jones mentioned on RFN that he found out that you can actually move on to the next world without completing the story missions, even though there's usually only a couple per level. So it doesn't take that long to do them. But if you just do enough side stuff or just other missions, you can just move on and I guess finish the game probably without having completed some of that story stuff along the way. I don't know if maybe you get to the end and it says, oh, you need to go back there and do that thing. But
yeah, I haven't come across that yet. Like every single level I went through, I just completed every single one of the main story missions. So yeah, I'd be interested to see if they like gate off maybe like the final level or whatever.
I bet they do.
Because you didn't face off like against all the rabbits or whatever.
So. I don't think it would. I think it would let you do it and that you just still have to go back later and still do them later anyway. But I don't think it would stop you from finishing the game. It feels like it wouldn't to me.
Yeah, because the only thing that really seems to change once you beat all the story missions is you get the Uncle Amiibo and the Hint Toad near the near the Odyssey.
Yeah, and those are totally optional stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was using the Hint Toad for a bit recently. Like, it's pretty helpful. At least you know where to start looking.
Hint Toad costs too much. Toss some Amiibos on there, and you'll get
That's basically what I've been doing. It's just I can wait the 5 minutes to find the hints by just like popping my Bayonetta and Peach and Toad on there.
Oh, so they don't have to be Mario Amiibo?
No, you can use any of them.
Basically, yeah, you can use any Amiibo. But the funny thing is, it will, from what I've tested with it, it will like say, oh, you tap the Squid Girl Amiibo, or you tap the Marie Amiibo or the Inkling Girl. Yeah. And like, but if you tap like a Mega Man Amiibo or a Bayonetta Amiibo, it will say,
you have a lovely Amiibo.
What a lovely Amiibo. Yeah, we'll send this out to search too.
Yeah. And some Amiibos will give you costumes, like, Wario Amiibo will get you a Wario costume, and if you tap the, I think any Mario Amiibo, you get the reverse color scheme overalls from Mario 2.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. Yeah. That's not even from Mario 2. That's like from the Nintendo Power cover.
That's
of
what
Mario
I mean. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I actually think that's like the original Donkey Kong, right? Yeah. That was his original color scheme.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was it.
That's neat.
But it is nice little bonuses like that.
It seems like it, at least most, if not all, the Amiibo costumes you can also buy with coins in the game.
Yeah, all of them, I think. Yeah.
I've bought a Waluigi outfit, so I imagine you get that if you have a Waluigi Amiibo, but I don't.
Yeah, I sported.
That was like one of the first ones I scanned.
I sported the Waluigi for a while because it greatly amused me that was an option. And I used to have a Waluigi Amiibo, but I gave it to my nephew, so I didn't get a chance to try it on here. It's the only one I had.
I just want to go back to a point that was brought up a bit earlier in terms of the size of the levels as well. Because I was thinking, like, if Nintendo tried to make Mario Odyssey during the Wii generation, I think their inclination at the time might have been to make the worlds, you know, a lot bigger, sort of expand the scope that way. But, because... I don't know, maybe the benefit of hindsight, they went the complete opposite way.
Well, or they still could. Maybe they said, hey, we can't make the levels dense and large in this game.
Yeah, so it's just like they have to stop at one point.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too, is just like some of the levels are just kind of weirdly designed because they like want to make them look like they're, you know, these big sprawling levels or whatever, but you can like notice the seams kind of, like, especially in New Donk City. I feel like that whole area just doesn't make sense, because like you have this big city and there's all kinds of skyscrapers around, but it's like the city just kind of ends, you know, there's just these giant cliffs that are just like blocked off with like roadblocks or something, but you still see an expansive city in the skybox. And it's just like, it's so weird.
They are really just like Mario 64 levels, where every kingdom is pretty much on an island.
Yeah.
And it's like the desert. It's this huge desert, the Toast Arena. And then you get to the edge of it and it just drops off into nothingness. And then you could follow that perimeter all the way around the edge. So it's like, it seems very large if you're anywhere in the interior, but if you get out towards the edge, it's like, okay, so I'm on this 360 degree Grand Canyon tour. You know, it's like, very strange the way these lands are thrown out there.
It's like Dark City.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, I guess Miyamoto is a big fan of Dark City.
How do you get to Seashore Island? Nobody got that. All right. Shell Beach.
No, sorry.
Shell Beach, Seashore Island.
New Donk's like pretty big, like, to explore. I mean, when you're on top of the buildings and stuff, it seems really small, but when you're down on the ground running around and stuff, like, it's pretty big. But I like some of the smaller ones too. Like the Lost Island one, like the prehistoric sort of looking one.
Yeah, I really like
that's
that
really
one.
Tiny, but at the same time, when you're sort of running around, it's like, oh yeah, I've got to climb back up the hill. It does take a little bit of time. I mean, you can do it faster if you're like a good proficient at the cappy jumping and stuff. Speaking of which, did it take you guys a while to adjust to doing the various cappy jumps to, like, you know, platform and stuff?
I still have not figured out a little half bit of that.
Mm-hmm. It took me a little bit to figure out that if I, like, doing the, like, throwing out cappy and doing the long jump will just almost always just make me land on cappy. Like, I tried just to doing it manually, just throwing out cappy and just trying to line my jump up accordingly, and I always fall. But doing the long jump in combination with that, I just always land on it. So
yeah,
it's become muscle memory at this point.
My go-to now is just, yeah, like, do a long jump, throw cappy, do a dive, bounce off the hat again, I think, and then you do another dive or something.
Yeah.
It's like pretty far.
Yeah, the dive is the part that ZL and B at the same time in midair. I didn't see, maybe it's a travel tip or something, or there's somewhere that I missed where it tells you how to do that, but I didn't learn how to do that until after I beat the game. So it's very optional. You know, and because I didn't know how to do the dive, I ended up not really using cappy for jumping purposes much at all.
Yeah,
very rare circumstances. But I mean, I'm very good at the U-turn jumps and the long jumps and the wall jumps and all that stuff, because those, they still work and feel pretty much the same as from all the way back to 64. So, I'm very comfortable doing that stuff. Even there were a few places I used triple jumps, which was fun. So, I like that they keep those classic moves and they still take some skill to pull off. But if you kind of come in understanding those and how to apply them, you can do some really cool stuff with them, you know. And I like that there's alternative moves also that accomplish pretty much the same thing. I saw just recently, I saw that if you ground pound and then immediately jump,
jump a little boost
way back up higher. It's not any higher than a U-turn jump or a somersault, but for some people it might be easier to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when there's, like, not a lot of space to, like, try and do that backwards jump.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely used the ground pound jump a few times because it was easier, like, when you're facing a ledge or something, to climb up onto it. So if you do that in Mario, you'll grab it, which is cool. But...
And apparently that move existed in past Mario games, and I've just never, ever used it before.
Really?
I swear I heard somewhere, like, you could do that same exact move in 3D World. Like, where you
it might have been in 3D
right
World.
Maybe. Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Mm. I never heard of it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was news to me. It was just like, what? Really? That was just never, ever brought up.
I don't think you learn how to do the dive until you get to the moon. And by then, it barely matters.
Hmm. No, the dive, they teach you it in... I'm pretty sure you'd learn it in, like, the Cap Kingdom and all that, because that's where I learned it. That's where I was doing it from the start. It took me, like, a little while to get used to the button presses, because for a while I was fumbling over them when I was doing the dive and stuff and stuffing it up, but it tells you somewhere pretty early on, I'm sure it does.
Mm, okay. What did you guys think of the very elongated ending sequence of this game?
That was, like, one of the best ending sequences in any Nintendo game I've played in a long time.
I felt it went on a bit long. Like, when you land in Bowser's Kingdom, you think, all right, this is it, and then it's not. And then you think,
you mean in general.
Yeah, here's the moon. I'm here. Oh, no, it's not here yet either. Keeps on going.
I could have done without the boss rush. But
Me too.
Yeah. You know. I was specifically speaking about... like, after you beat Bowser and you have to escape. I'm talking about
that part's great. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, like, the best. Like, oh my god, that was so good. And that song that played in that final section is just, like, did they get Jun Sanu on this game? What the hell is going on?
I have no idea. It's
Crush 40-ass song.
That song surprised me. I was like, wow, that's surprising. I really liked the song as well.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
You know, the music's fantastic throughout. I'm a big fan of how they do 8-bit versions of the songs when you go into the wall murals.
Yeah. The wall murals are really fun. I wish there was more of that.
There's quite a lot of them, though. Like, there's probably more than I thought there might have been, which is nice. Mm-hmm.
I'm still even discovering more than I'm... more than
yeah, there's a few in the post-game that I've tried that I've just... had to come, like, I've given up. I was like, I'm stuffing up. Which is, like, a good sign, because, like, a lot of the challenges in the post-game are a fair bit harder, which is good. I've already run into a few that I've gone, ah, really? It's taken me a bit longer to get through this one.
Yeah, certainly there's one in the Mushroom Kingdom that really tested my patience.
Oh, yeah, I think I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, before we started recording today, I was in the Wooded Kingdom. I'm trying to get all the moons in that. And I ran into a bonus area with involves some sheep and sheep herding. And, yeah, just to say, it's kind of annoying.
Mm. Yeah, I was just doing some sheep herding in the Mushroom Kingdom level myself. And that's far less annoying, but there are still times where it's just like the sheep will just kind of wander onto the edge of the level and just like not move away from it. And it's just like, come, stop. Just get over the... Why do you want to die? Why do you want to die? You need to go. And they just... And I just, I can't do it. So it's just like, fine, you know, whatever. Cappy, take them away. And just like toss them off the cliff and they respawn.
Would have been a lot easier to just capture the sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah, or pick them up or something, yeah.
I don't know, because they have they have hats. Yeah. Like, they have the sombreros. So it's just like, you could just knock them off, but I don't know, maybe Cappy sees the sheep as, like, not a threat.
No,
so it's just,
I mean,
like, they don't...
You know, there's lots of creatures, both friendly and otherwise, that you can capture.
Yeah,
inanimate objects.
I thought it was funny that, you know, in general, if something has a hat, that means you cannot capture it. But then they put out their enemies who you can knock their hats off of them, and then you can capture them. Except, like, the bosses, which, once you knock their hats off, then you can just jump on their heads, but you still can't capture them. There's the whole mythos is really inconsistent, and really, the only way to know how anything works is just to try it.
Yeah.
But I do think that's in the spirit of Mario, though, so it's okay.
Pretty much.
But yeah, there's really no way to just look at something and, like, understand how it works until you go over there and spend a lot of time with it.
Yeah.
Did you guys like the capture, like, capturing the different enemies and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I felt it became pretty prescripted after a while.
Mm.
Like, yeah, oh, Goombas. Goombas means there's going to be a girl Goomba around here who's going to give me a moon. You know, things like that kind of bugged me, but it's fun. It's fun being in the different bodies.
How they all move and feel different.
Yeah, that's nice.
And you know, I like how many different ones there are. But like the Goomba, you know, most of the forms are so limited that there's not a whole lot you can do with them that Mario couldn't do more easily on his own. I think the best captures are the ones like the. I'm not sure what they're called, but the thing that's encased in a bubble of water.
And oh, yeah.
Jet around.
Mm-hmm.
That's
good.
Totally different. Yeah. You know, I think the T-Rex is really fun to run around in. I wouldn't want to do it every level, but I think it's a good amount of it in the game. And, you know, there's a few other ones I wouldn't want to spoil for everybody if they haven't played the game yet. But, you know, there are definitely a few that stand out as being used in very clever ways. You can tell the ones that have more depth to them have more moons that you can get.
Mm.
So yeah. I do think the designers understand where it makes sense. And then there's other mechanics that you do it once and you get a couple moons and then you may never see it again. And you know, I guess that's okay too.
Yeah.
I think the main thing to take away is that none of it just seems intrusive. Like, you're not going up to an enemy that you have to capture. It's just like, oh, this again.
That's true.
Whatever. It's just like everything just flows. It has its own. They have their own purpose, no matter how small or how large it is. But yeah, it never. I never felt like it slowed down anything.
Yeah,
I quite like the Wooded Kingdom one. The pot plant thing, with the vines that you stretch out.
Yeah. What's your guys' favorite capture ability?
Actually, it's probably that one for me.
Mine would probably be a toss up between the Tropical Wiggler. Or
I like
Wiggler, yeah.
Yeah. The Tropical Wiggler, or I keep forgetting the enemy's name, but the little woodpecker thing.
Oh, from Bowser's Kingdom. Really good. Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah.
I would probably have to go with the Bullet Bill. Especially the giant Bullet Bill.
Oh yeah.
That's really exciting when you get to do that. And
it took me a little bit to kind of get used to how Bullet Bill controls, because like, I guess I was overthinking it when I took control of Bullet Bill, especially in some of the later stages where you have to control one, because Like, I would assume the way you would move a bullet bill is, like, kind of like tank controls. Like, you know, how you would play something like Super Off-Road or whatever, but no, it's just like, no, you just move it around like you normally would something.
Yeah,
like
you just point to where you want it to go.
Yeah. But yeah, for whatever reason, I just overthought it. But yeah, it was cool. It was still cool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that there's skill involved in almost all the captures. There's some skill involved because they all are different. They have their own controls. And the game, it'll show you that. Sometimes there's nuances that the game doesn't tell you right off the bat. And again, it over time, you just learn how to do them better. I'm really feeling it as I go through these levels for the second or third time to go clean up more moons. When I capture those things, I'm no longer worried about the basics of how to control them. And I'm more interested in, like, what are the really interesting things I can do with this? And, you know, even some of these I've spent some time with before, I'm learning new things about what they're capable of. And that's exciting. So even though they may seem very simple, like, you know, the thing you guys talked about in the jungle or the dinosaur world the Woodland Kingdom that can stretch upward.
Yeah.
When you first get that, its only control is basically push this button to stretch upward. It can't even really jump.
Yeah.
Or dash. And it doesn't have an attack. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is so simplistic. I don't know, you know, how fun this is going to be. And it ended up being your favorite. So,
yeah.
Because there's, I don't even want to say all the other things you can do with it, but they use that thing in some very interesting ways. And it ends up changing the kind of level design that they pair it up with. And so
especially the boss fights too.
Right. Yeah. So the way you approach enemies and the way you approach exploration and the platforming, they all change because you're in charge of this creature. And that's, it takes some time to really get to grips with that and to know what to look for and to know how to deal with it when you get there. So I like that a lot. I like all the bosses that you play as a capture. I wish there was more of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Those are very interesting.
I don't really like the rabbit fights. They're just very rote.
Well, they're just the same fights, basically, as like we've had for the last, three games or whatever with the Koopalings.
Yeah, they feel like just glorified boom boom fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, run around, avoid these hazards, and jump on their head three times. And then they come up with more complicated versions of that, but it's always that same formula.
Yeah.
And they're just... They're not very threatening. And then later in the game, when you end up having to fight them again, they find some ways to make them hard that I think are just kind of bullshitty. So,
right.
not that crazy about the amped up versions of the Brutals. But, I mean, I think they're well designed characters. You know, they're funny.
I like the look of them
for sure. Mm. You know, I can't give credit for this. I don't remember who said it, but it is kind of funny that they put out their own version of these evil rabbits the same year that they had Mario joining the rabbits in a different game.
I don't know. What would the reaction have been if, it was the rabbits in this game?
It's very strange.
I think I'd almost like that more.
Yeah. Ubisoft got the rabbits in the Mario game.
I liked Bowser's, pet. That was a good boss fight.
Mm.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Go from the Brutals to that, and you're like, why'd they even have Brutals?
Right.
Yeah. It took me a few seconds to realize what you mean by Bowser's pet.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you were meaning that, like, facetiously.
Well, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to avoid a spoiler for people.
Yeah, we'll try not to spoil too much more, yeah.
Do you guys see yourself getting every moon?
Yeah, I'm going to get them.
Maybe over the course of a couple of years.
Yeah.
I've finished everything, all the levels. I'm just going through them one by one. So I'm up to the Woodland Kingdom at the moment, and I've 100%ed the other three or four before that now. So I'm just going to keep going one by one until I do it all now.
I did not get everything in 3D World because I thought there was too much of it that was just kind of repetitive and not fun. You know, like having to beat levels with different characters and, you know, like your success coming down to whether you hit the top of the flagpole at the end. And if you miss that, you have to play through the entire level over again.
That was that the sort same of stuff.
Yeah.
Turned me off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I I think it's kind of excusable. Excusable is a weird word to use, but to just kind of skip those parts because it's like all you're getting are Miiverse stamps, and like
true.
I mean, true. Well, it's like eventually but at you the same open time, up a, it is a still level. Something to collect.
Oh, you do? So
like, if you get everything, in Champion World, the final level, you have to basically 100% the game in order to open it up. And
F that.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
I've
there's,
done it.
There's
I've
another
it,
level
yeah.
if you collect every stamp?
No. There's no level after the stamp.
I don't
okay,
mean...
I was gonna, I was, oh, yeah. You mean the goal pole. Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta, you gotta get all I the green, do, I you gotta get all the green stars, you gotta, get to the top of the flagpole, and...
Yeah. I was thinking about, the stamps, because, like, in order to get every single stamp, you have to clear each level with each character by touching the top of the flagpole.
No,
or it's just...
You don't have to touch
the
flagpole.
If you want to get the last level, you just you just have to get the top of the flagpole with just a character.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's in that game, like, because it was, you know, a multiplayer thing, I think they expected you to play through it with, like, three other people to, not like, knock those out at once.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting expectation.
Yes, but, it is.
Yeah, that's the only way it makes sense.
That seems to be a lot of Nintendo's thing with Mario games. Like, the past, like, few years. Just, like, a lot of interesting expectations. Like, with New Super Mario Brothers, they expect people to, you know, play four-player co-op and not want to kill each other. And, same thing with 3D World. And with this one, it's, like, the motion controls. Like, all the motion controls seem, like, unnecessary to me.
Mm.
Like, that you don't... I mean, obviously, you're not required to use them.
Some of them
but
you
the
are.
Fact that some is will definitely help you out. But, like, I feel like they're just... There's no... I don't know why they're pushing it so much. Like, even with, like, the action guide and stuff, is like, saying, oh, you can twist it around this way to do it, or do that, or shake it to go faster.
Is there a button press you can do to make the cap fly around him in a circle? Because that motion...
Kind of. I mean, it's okay. Basically like you would do a spin attack in Zelda, a quick spin attack in Zelda.
Or Sunshine, like, the spray, the 360 spray in Sunshine.
Rotate the control stick in a circle, then, like, do your throw.
You have to hold you hold the cap button. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's any required motion controls in
some
the game.
Some of the captures require you to, like, shake the controller, and the only way to do that, like, slightly different move is to do the motion control.
Yeah.
Because I was confused, because I didn't read the description on the frog power, really. I didn't really pay too close attention to it. And in the Cap Kingdom, there was, like, a moon that was really high, and I was like, I can only jump so high. How am I supposed to get it? And then I realized later, oh, if you shake the controller, the frog does an even bigger jump.
Okay. I think the main thing is that there are so many buttons on the Joy-Cons and the Pro Controller that they just end up repeating.
Mm.
They, like, repeat actions on controllers, like both B and A jump, both X and Y throw Cappy, both ZR and ZL do the ground pound, both L and R do
That's probably so that you can play the game on a single Joy-Con.
Right.
But
I guess.
I would love some remapping opportunities to put some
just to take away the options. Yeah.
And it really kind of bummed me out too. Like, I didn't mind the motion controls or something, but I did read somebody's post on Reddit where there's this one guy that has, like, Parkinson's disease. And the fact that you cannot just turn off the motion controls at all, he had an extremely rough time with that game because, like, you know, his hands would be shaking and it would activate, you know, Cappy being thrown. Or, like, in the 2D sections, I don't know if you knew this, but if you shake the controller in the 2D sections, Mario will jump.
Oh,
man, I didn't know that. What's the point of that?
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Strange.
That was the That's the one thing that struck me with this game, though. The controller layout and everything seems not that elegant compared to, like, past what I'm used to from Nintendo. I mean, having multiple buttons do the same thing is something that I feel they haven't really done before. Like, I don't know. It seems a bit weird.
On Mario World, you can push either X or Y to run and spin your cape and stuff. Mm. So it's not unprecedented, but...
Oh, I think with that in that regard, it was, like, easier to have two run buttons because B did your regular jump and A did the spin jump. So it's like it would be easier to rest your thumb on either of those positions.
Sure.
But it's just like there's not really any reason to have it in this, in with a control scheme like this.
Yeah, in Odyssey, I agree. And on the motion stuff, I mean, I will say if you haven't checked, there is a screen in the options where you can change the sensitivity. So it may be not enough to help someone with Parkinson's, but if you find that they go off accidentally or that you have to shake too hard to make it work, you might want to fiddle with that.
Yeah, there actually was an update on that. So the GameCube controllers actually still do work with the Switch. I know there was some confusion with like that functionality being added, but yeah, the GameCube controller works perfectly fine with this game. I mean, obviously you can't, like, press the home button or, you know, the share button without, like, an extra controller just lying around. But, I mean, it works. I mean, I put works in quotation marks.
You can move and jump with Mario.
Yeah, you can, well, yeah. I mean, in the sense of, like, the buttons are mapped to, like, to the letter.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, you know, A and B will jump, but to do your Cappy attack, you would have to press Y or X on a GameCube controller. Which is just, like, not really that intuitive.
Well, Y is not bad.
I mean, Y isn't bad, but you would expect to use the B button for action games.
Sort of. On GameCube. Yeah, it depends. I mean, Y goes back to, like, more the Super Nintendo idea where you can pivot your thumb up and down.
And the ground pound is mapped to the Z button on the GameCube instead of the L.
Well, it would be. Because, yeah, that makes sense. Because
L and R is the Z, L and Z are, right?
I
maintain you should be able to set your own controller mapping.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, exactly. I mean, I do think, you know, button assignments aside, I think these are fairly minor gripes in the scheme of things. Yeah, I mean, I think the feel of the controls is excellent. You know, the responsiveness and the physics and all that stuff I'm very pleased with.
And certainly I never have to think about it, and that's where it's, if I have to think about it, that's where it crosses a line for me.
It's more along the lines of just noticing it along the way and being like, huh.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's odd.
But all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable with the controls now. But like I was saying earlier, it was just early on, I was getting used to the Cappy jumps and all that. I was making mistakes by like, oh no, I pushed the wrong button sort of thing.
You know, this seems a little random, but I was a little disappointed that the T-Rex doesn't come after you.
He does.
He's just asleep.
In one level, he does.
Oh, he does? Yeah, really? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. In the Wooden Kingdom, if you go into in one of the deep woods sections, there is an active T-Rex that will chase
after you. Ooh, I need to go back there.
It's actually pretty scary.
There's also one in a different kingdom that is extremely unexpected, and I don't want to spoil that for any of you.
Oh, okay.
It's a secret area that you might not find until much, much later, but yeah, there was a surprise T-Rex that I found quite delightful.
Nice.
Good. Yeah.
Oh, that's good, because I didn't like that he was just confined to the Cascade Kingdom, where he almost is useless.
He's not useless, he's super powerful in there.
Yeah, that's true.
There's sections where it's kind of set up as a playground for the T-Rex to go and just smash everything.
Yeah, I've been to that underground area. That was fun.
Yeah.
I wish you could attack a Triceratops or something. There's a Triceratops skull up on the top of the island. Where's the Triceratops?
You don't want to know what happened to that Triceratops.
That skeleton is a Triceratops really cool in part of my world.
Yeah, that skeleton's great. It really is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good game. I like it a lot. I really do. And it's got, I actually don't know how many moons there are. I don't know if I want to know, but it seems like this has about as much potential replay value as like Breath of the Wild.
Nah.
No.
I
wouldn't go that far, but at the same time, like, I could still see myself coming back to this again and again to try and find more stuff.
I found once I've hit the post game, like the amount of moons I've gotten has gone up, like quicker. Like you can just rack them up really, really fairly quickly. I mean, I'm at like the mid. I think I'm around 450 at the moment. But yeah, there's some really cool challenges in the post game that I thought, maybe they should have moved some of these to the you know, before, but it's all pretty good.
I think what you'll find in the post game especially is that the kinds of things you can do to get a moon are incredibly diverse, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But also, yeah, I would say highly variable in quality. So there's moons that you will do this amazing obstacle course, and at the end, or even along the way, you'll find a secret one that's tucked away in this strange place. Those are my favorite. Those feel the most Mario-like. And then there's other ones that are just sitting around in the world in strange places, and you may or may not come across them. You know, there's clues that you might miss at first. I like those a lot. The ones I don't like so much are like the fetch quests and the strange little things that people want you to do. Hey, come back here, but dressed up as a doctor. Then I'll give you a moon. It's like, you know what? Maybe you just sit there and I just won't ever talk to you again. Maybe or I don't need that moon.
There's other moons that are a lot more fun to get than yours, buddy.
Find
these four fruits that are scattered somewhere around this entire level and bring them back to these pots.
Yeah.
No respect for the medical or farming professions.
Well, like Zelda, I think Odyssey is a game that begs you to look at the incredible amount of stuff that it contains and ask yourself, what of this do I actually find interesting?
True.
And you can prioritize the way you play the game in such a way that you can do all the best stuff and kind of mostly avoid the things that you don't like as much or don't care about as much, you know? And either way, I think you'll find there's a lot of it. There's a lot to do and there's a lot of cool stuff. And you know, maybe to me in Mario, it's a little more obvious what's the good stuff and what's the not so good, like more lazy stuff. But maybe some people will say, oh yeah, those are all my favorites. I love dressing up as the different costumes and going to make the character, you know, and you're so happy when you show up and you're dressed up as a cowboy.
Yeah.
And that was my favorite thing. And I'm like, okay, that's not the game I played, but I, you know, okay. I mean, there's so many moons that I just don't feel that slighted by the ones that I don't care about as much, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'll be okay without those. I'll go over here and do these.
I like how there's leaderboards for the mini games as well, which is like to compete with people, which is kind of cool.
Oh, I haven't gone after any of those mini games yet, but that is nice that there is. Is it friends based or global?
Both.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, both. And I haven't done a lot of
the leaderboard. Yeah, you're going to get very depressed if you try and chase some of those global
ones. Oh, sure.
I'm going to try and chase the global ones. I beat my friend in one of the things, though, so that's as good as I can get.
that's nice.
Like, I just finally got to over 100 jumps in the jump roping one in New Dog City.
Which
is, like, way harder than it should have been.
Hit 60 on that one.
You know, the best way to do it is to get on the moped and approach the jump rope on the moped.
Yeah, I haven't tried
that
yet.
And do it that way. Because when you do it as normal Mario, you'll do the double jump and you just, like, land slower. So it's, like, so out of sync with the jump rope. But, like, when you're on the moped, it's just, like, it's just stationary, same jumps over and over. And it's just easier to get into that rhythm once they max out the speed.
Huh. Yeah. That's funny.
Wow.
You know, the mini games that I've found quite interesting are the free races.
I love those.
With Koopa the Quick or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, that goes right back to Mario 64. He showed up
That's one of the ones I was like, oh, they should have put the first round of these in the normal game. And then you could have come back later and did the harder version of it.
Maybe so. But even in the post game, when I go back to these levels and I find that guy, he's often near the beginning of the level. I've gotten frustrated a few times going at it because I don't really know the level well, even though I've already been through it once. When you come back, the level changes a lot, and there's a lot of features there that you may not even known how to use the first time. And so I'm finding it's better to go and do a bunch of moons and kind of really learn that area and then go and try to do the race. And what I love about the races is that they are well designed to take advantage of the levels that they're in, and the paths that they give you to do, they're not even really paths. It's just, hey, get from point A to point B. Whoever gets to point B first wins. And it doesn't matter how you do it. So you can capture things, you can ride on vehicles, you can, you know, do kinds of crazy jumps and get up and around obstacles or, you know, whatever it is you want to do to get over there. There's a lot of room to find an optimal way to do it, you know, and there's more than one way to win those races.
Crazy videos online of people parkouring all over the place to get to those goals real quick.
Yeah, that's cool that you can do that, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
I like that too.
Yeah, I've done a little bit of like skips on like with doing those running things. I was like, well, I was getting like, because I was losing a couple of times. I was like, there's got to be a slightly faster way to make this easier. And then, yeah, you just sort of think about it, look at the layout, and I can do like a triple jump here, get up there, and then long jump off that.
The first round that you do those races is like pretty, it's usually pretty easy to do it, but the second round is like when they add like the golden Koopa and he does all those crazy shortcuts and stuff. And you can watch that Koopa do the things, because you can do everything that the Koopa ends up doing. It just, you just don't really see the Cappy visual along with that Koopa, but you can like kind of gauge like what you're supposed to do based on how the Koopa's moving.
Yeah, you can learn a lot from watching the other ghosts. Yeah. I wonder if eventually they'll incorporate your friends as ghosts in those foot races, so you can just kind of directly race against them or watch them.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
We'll see. One thing I've thought about a lot is like what kind of DLC they might do for Odyssey, because it seems inevitable in this age.
I think they will do it, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. It's like, what do you guys think the future is for Odyssey? Do you think they're going to just do some straight-up DLC like levels or updates, or do you think they'll probably end up making an Odyssey 2?
I think DLC is more likely than the straight like sequel.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing like new kingdoms added with DLC. I was thinking when I was playing through it the first time, I was surprised that there weren't any like direct homages to Mario 64, like a bomb on Battlefield, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, they did that in Galaxy 2.
They did that in Galaxy 2, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just surprised they didn't do it here, because this is much more of a sequel to Mario 64 than Galaxy.
I mean, there is one section that they do that's a direct recreation. But you may not have
seen that.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as grandiose as even the Galaxy 2 remake.
Okay. I would actually prefer it if they, you know, just went back to Delfino Island.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Johnny, do you mean
that, like a Delfino Kingdom?
Johnny, do you mean the castle?
There's another part of the castle you can go to.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I think Delfino Island would be an absolutely fantastic kingdom for them to add. And they could just think of how many places they could seed it with moons and cool things to do. And I think it would be a great redemption for Sunshine, for the people who don't like that game, to be able to go back and experience that environment and the bubbly music and the just the cool vibe of that game. But now with better controls, better camera, you know, a more thoughtful design to where the secrets are stored and things like that.
Yeah.
It's a chance to go back and revisit that. And they could recreate a lot of the Sunshine powers as well with some of the capture abilities.
Yeah, like the one in the Seaside Kingdom, the little water blob. Like, he's basically Flood in a way.
He's like the jet version of Flood, that where you can go really fast out on the water.
That little octopus has a great obstacle course of his own in the post game.
Yeah, I'm looking for that right now, actually. I've just got back to that area. Well, guys, I'm going to have to go. But
okay, well, I think we're about to wrap up anyway. But
oh, okay, sure.
So, yeah, I was going to say. On if we do a Sunshine level, you know, they can make the currency of that level the blue coins.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Make them just as bullshit to try and find as it is in the real game. 250
of these. Have fun.
And good luck. The costume for that level can be the 1970s shirt that Mario wears.
The sunglasses and the Hawaiian shirt.
Right, yeah.
Well, you could also have the Flood as a costume.
Oh, that's true.
And just before we go, we did have one listener mail, but I'm pretty sure we sort of already pretty much spoke and answered about it. But I'll just say thanks to the Dan from Canada for sending in an email. His question was basically, what were your thoughts on the idea of new goals being unlocked upon beating the main story mission? He said he had read mixed opinions in the idea, but he that it makes the exploration pointless. He disagrees, though, so I don't think it makes the exploration pointless, seeing that, like, if there's more stuff added later, so, yeah.
I thought you said new girls for a second. I was like, I don't know.
New girls.
Rosalina! That'd be nice, Rosalina and Daisy in the Seaside Kingdom with those costumes. I'm down.
Yeah. New goals are good. I do think the game, I wish it was more upfront about recommending that you do the story missions before you go do the other stuff. If it was just a little more clear about, hey, we strongly suggest you do this because then you'll get an introduction to the level, and then more stuff will be available for you to just go out and do whatever you want. You know, but it suggests the idea that, I mean, you could really do whatever you want. And then when you do that, you find yourself limited because you haven't gone and done the story missions yet. So I mean, it is more flexible than, to go back to Sunshine, there's parts of that game that are very strictly gated off until you do the story mission. A lot of the story missions are not that fun. You know, chasing around Water Mario is really one of the worst things in that game. So there's a lot of it early on. So if you, you know, I like that they give you the option to go and get distracted. But they should probably be a little more suggestive about, hey, you know, it would be a good idea for you to do these story missions because it'll pay off.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the end, it's fine. You're going to do
them. I think it's also something that you learn. I learned that sort of halfway through. I was like, okay, maybe I should stop just, like, exploring straight up and just get the story stuff out of the way and then open the level up fully.
Oh, yeah. I blasted through the second half of this game.
Yeah, me too.
Fast. Yeah.
But I saw very little of it, so now I'm going back and, you know, getting it in the full.
There you go.
Alrighty, well, I think we'll leave the conversation there. Thanks, guys, for coming on and talking about Mario today.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me. This is a fun few podcasts.
A good cap off to our past two episodes, which were all about Galaxy. So.
I see what you did there.
It was a good lead in. Alright, so thanks again, guys, and thanks everyone for listening. And if you want to send us an email, you can send it to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com or hit us up on Twitter or on the talkback to this episode. Alright, thanks everyone again, and until next time. Bye.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.